66 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. The first hour of the show is brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Now, here's your host, Johnny Radio himself, John Harden.
I know it is back. What it is, no, I got it is back. What it is, I gotta go.
Come on, wanna change, but you're still there, laying down, praying the Lord.
Yo, 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 and yo. Welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio, man. Can y'all believe we made it to hump day? We are here halfway through the week. And by the way, for some people, I just realized today is like it's payday weekend.
Yeah.
This Friday.
Yeah.
Dead gummit, I got a lot of work to do today that I wasn't expecting. Thanks, buddy, for the reminder. No, for real, though. That's awesome, though. I'm looking forward to Friday. That means I got to, start gambling on baseball.
Yeah. You know what I found funny? Saturday, we have absolutely no basketball at all on the schedule.
Wait.
None.
It's a naked Saturday?
A naked basketball Saturday.
Not even the chicks?
Not even the chicks, dude.
And by the way, somebody the other day said to me, do you know that I think saying the dark-headed chick and Jay came in and said, Tracy Wolfson. I think that was kind of a little offensive. I said, bro, I went to every chicks game there was and none of them were even chicks. You know? Like, why can we, like, had a baseball team called the Chicks, weren't they? Like,
chicks.
And those were for hot chicks, right?
No. I don't think so. I think that was for the Chickasaw Indian tribe, John.
Are you joking?
I know.
I went to I got Bo Jackson. You're kidding.
Bo Jackson, Tim Raines, yeah.
Like, I'm a Chickasaw. What's
that
song?
They played at Tim McCarver Stadium.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I thought it was for chicks.
I'll verify this. Go ahead. Keep talking.
I really was like, dude, I can call a chick if I wanted to. We had the baseball team, the Chicks, and it was all about hot chicks.
I mean, the logo wasn't even a chick, John. It was a picture of an Indian.
Yeah, actually, I knew that part of it. Hey, I'm Cherokee. I didn't know about them Chippewas. Sorry, except for the song. I'm a Choctaw. I'm a Chippewa. I'm an Indian outlaw. Is that right? I feel like I think I'm getting some of these lyrics right. And I don't know who sang it or where it came from and or what damn karaoke bar I was at. But we have a lot of stuff going on. Damn, I didn't eat him. But he was like, man, that was offensive. I was like, man.
Yes, according, of course, to Wikipedia, from 1909 to 1911, this club was called the Turtles before receiving its best-known moniker, the Chickasaws.
Dave Volosian, who is also an expert, texted me and said, Chickasaw Tribe, John. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest voices of the Tigers.
Wolo validated
hey,
me.
Hey, gentlemen, can I do this to you guys? I know we don't have basketball. I know this, but Randy will appreciate this. It's Masters weekend, gentlemen.
It is Masters weekend.
You know what? That is true.
It's Masters
weekend,
gentlemen.
The green jacket's going to be given away, but the only thing is that's so sad is I hate this. Tiger's in rehab, and he's going to relapse during this. He can't watch it. You're going to have to keep him away from watching that TV.
First time since 94, no Tiger, no Phil. But guess what? We ain't worried about it. We got Scotty.
We actually have a Masters correspondent this year, y'all.
Who?
It's Mo Schefter.
And Rory.
What?
Mo is big into golf, man. He's into it. He's like, yo, I got at least give me 5 minutes today. I want to talk about the Masters.
I love it. Hey, he's the only one that's going to be able to talk. You can talk with him. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't know nothing about that, man. You know, the only thing I know about the Masters is I like Chris Vernon updates.
Oh, yeah, dude, when he did the one with the, ooh, it's the Masters. And had
what's
all the,
in Augusta with
what's
the Masters?
Going on in Augusta? Him and Roser and all the
right,
people dressed
up. They get that at the park.
That is, in all honesty, that might be one of the greatest. That's probably the funniest clip I think I've ever seen.
It's one of those.
It comes out every year again.
Every
this is like
year
national.
Masters, right. He gives us like on the Thursday, Fridays, he gives us those updates like that. But it's like, for those, if you're not into it, that's a fun way that you can keep up with it without being into it. That's why I look at it.
That's
but I probably trip. Watch on Saturday since we don't have basketball. And I watch some on Sunday to see who wins.
I mean, is there not some new football league that they've opened up that we got football to at least game along?
The UFL is back.
Yeah, the UFL is going on.
Which one's that?
That's the one that the showboats were in.
And John, they're not
and
here.
Surprise, guess what? It airs on Fox.
They do air on Fox, yes.
What does that mean?
You can watch it.
Oh, I didn't know. I was like, what does that mean?
My all man right. is really high low today. Look at him.
I'm a little special, maybe.
Let's talk about your hat.
Wow, I'm an Indian outlaw, half Cherokee, half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa. She's one of a kind. Thank you for the texture for getting. I was kind of close for somebody.
And your double A baseball team that you used to go and attend their games, they were the Chickasaws.
I just had a very, since I was a little kid, I couldn't help it, man. I've loved women since
that
the day.
I found it out one of those days where I'm at home. I had those Kohl's dispensary products in the summertime, as hot as a fool. I started doing research, and I go on deep dives for stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I never knew that they were the Chickasaw. It's pretty cool. And that was like 20 years ago. So, but it just, you know, that recall. I'm like, yeah, I knew I seen that
before.
Oh,
my gosh. I'm so sorry to interrupt you because I have ADHD, and I haven't seen this until just now because I guess I miss a lot of stuff somehow. But Atlanta Falcons coach Kevin Stefanski said Wednesday that edge rusher James Pierce is not with the team.
He shouldn't be either.
He's facing criminal charges, including 3 felonies.
Yeah.
He allegedly crashed his vehicle into one that was driven by WNBA player
Rakia Jackson, who he used to beat the hell out of her. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
We're talking about James Pierce Jr., the guy from Tennessee.
Yeah, because she went to Tennessee as well.
That was his ex-girlfriend. Then Pierce has a trial hearing scheduled for May 4th in Miami-Dade County.
James Pierce shouldn't be playing football, bro.
Dude, how did I miss all this stuff?
This was like a couple months ago, I think in February. Right around, not short, right
around. You notice how them Vol fans who always text me all that good stuff about the Vols didn't text me nothing about this? Yeah, dude, yeah, oh my God, he even fired a weapon?
Yeah, Rakia's got a restraining order on him, too, because he used to beat on her, so.
Dude, he's too big to be beating on a woman, bro.
It ain't like she was a punk woman, either. She's from Detroit. She's straight tough with it like that, you know? If you see her hoop, you'd be like, yeah, she ain't no punk. But
I mean, he had a good rookie season last year. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick. God, I'm trying to think where the Falcons drafted. I don't know. I mean, 20s?
Squash that.
I'm shocked. I did not know that.
Yeah, that headline broke a few months ago.
Damn, dude. Then
I thought we talked about it here. Probably. You know, it was so much other stuff.
There's just been so much stuff going on again. I mean,
because this was like, I want to say right after the Super Bowl, if not.
Kind of got whitewashed.
Yeah.
And why do they call it whitewashing?
Well, it didn't really get whitewashed, though, because it did hit mainstream. But it was just like any other crime NFL or professional athlete story for the most part. Especially if for those that, unless you just know who James Pierce is.
I mean, I don't know him personally.
Not
by
personally,
any
but you know but from
when
the
I was,
world.
I'm going to just tell you as a, you know, a guy who remember I went and watched Tennessee play a few times. I got half my family who loves most of my, you know, like my parents, me, Memphis, my daughters, Ole Miss. My uncle, he played ball at UT, and then all of his kids went to UT. My cousins, you know, all of his daughters, and Bob Bain, my good buddy, homie, one of the best photographers in Memphis, period, in a discussion. I'm telling you right now. Dude, he shot the Peyton Manning family, bro. like the whole Mannings. Best photographer. These are all guys that just, you know, like love Tennessee. So I'm always kind of caught in, you know, I kind of like all of them. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird, like this Memphis 45 minutes this way, and then 4 freaking hours that way, and if I'm driving to Knoxville. But I like all these teams. I didn't know James Pierce was absolutely crazy. I didn't know Memphis was going to completely miss the boat. Miss the ferry, and I don't mean F-A-I-R-Y. I mean F-E-R-R-Y. You know what I mean? They missed the ferry on getting in a good conference. So, you know, we're scared to death about the new iteration of what our basketball and our football team are going to look like.
Right.
The transfer portal, there are so many people in the portal, it's crazy. Listening to Jeremiah Smith, that was the basketball portal. Like, so many people have entered it.
And not by their own choice, either.
Now, some not by their own choice. Others who are just straight up.
Out of it.
Yeah, some ain't. They're going to be left behind.
Yeah,
but the reason I kind of was just bringing up all this kind of stuff because I'm kind of wondering now as we talk about how Memphis, it looks like, missed the boat. because they're not in a major conference. Well, North Carolina is a blue blood. Memphis feels like they are, you know, from everything. When you go back to the Finch days and the Keith Lee days and the Penny Hardaways, the Elliott Perrys, the damn dude, when Finch is doing his thing. We have Cal with Rose and CDR. And
got a lot of history.
We got a lot of history with this basketball program. But you know, let's just be real. We got beat by Colorado State. We have one NCAA tournament win in, 7 years?
I want to say completed the last 20 because we was in the great run in
2008.
The 20-year mark. Right, but like really since Cal left.
Since Cal left,
2009
yeah.
to where we are now. That's just 17 years.
I mean, hell, I think Josh even
got to the tournament, but he never got out of the first weekend.
He didn't win one.
Josh got a few tournament wins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He got more wins than Penny, I think. Yeah, Penny has one.
Yeah, he's got two.
Yeah. So what I'm just saying is this. Like, I love Tennessee because they're still in a big conference. I love Ole Miss. They big conference. I got Trinidad. My daughter cheered down there. I look at Memphis. I went to Memphis. I got love for Memphis, but I'm also, like, a realist. I don't need to go see B-level football play C-level football, you know? All right. So it's hard. But this is the other thing. Like, how in the world do you think – and I think this is one of the bigger stories. North Carolina, mm-hmm. Hubert Davis, talent coming out the wazoo. They've had everything from Caleb Love and R.J. Davis, love triangles. They've had Caleb Wilson getting injured at the wrong time of the year.
Don't forget my man Armando Bacot.
Armando!
Was here for the hustle for a while.
They've had players. Yeah, they've had opportunities, but they haven't really done anything.
It's not the same.
They go outside of the Carolina family, yeah. which is something that Carolina doesn't do.
Never done.
They hire Mike Malone.
Which technically they really didn't go outside of the family by the fact that his daughter was already enrolled there and playing volleyball there.
The what?
His daughter's
one. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
hey,
there.
A daughter makes you a part of the family.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, see, you did a deep dive.
No, I peeped that yesterday because she was at the press conference and she was like, she was already there. And that was a big part of him also taking that job. It's like, oh, yeah, my baby girl's there. She's playing volleyball.
I got
North Carolina basketball. You know, so it works.
And now Mike Malone, I like how he said, you know, Larry Brown's the only coach that has won a national championship and won an NBA championship, and that's something I'd like to do.
That's a Carolina guy.
And that's a Carolina guy.
But you know what? Me and Brian Dacus talked about this last week, and we continued the conversation another day. And I told B, I was like, you know, Roy saved that from really going to hell in 2003.
It's hard to replace a legend.
Yeah.
Dean Smith is not an easy person to replace.
What they went through that, six-year period between Dean Smith and getting to Roy. Bill Guthridge did his thing, but then Bill was only going to be there a couple years, hold the place, and get out of the way. They thought they wanted Roy before they settled on Matt Doherty. If you go back and you remember that, Roy turned it down, but it's like Roy was already at a blue blood.
He was at Kansas.
He didn't win at Kansas, but he had been to multiple Final Fours and the whole deal. And he had great squads, great talent at Kansas, Paul Pierce, and so on and so forth. But in 2003, Dean had to sit down and really, like, convince Roy, come on home. If Roy didn't go back, Carolina could have went probably to hell like what Indiana did. And, you know, just not be of that status anymore. Although, when I talked to my man, OG Brett Noseworthy, the true historian of the station, he said, once you get the tag, you don't lose it. I feel him. I agree with that.
It's
you're
true.
Blue blood, you're blue blood.
You're a blue blood. I agree with that. I'm not going to argue with that. I agree with that. The thing is that Matt Doherty run for North Carolina was so pathetic that without Roy Williams getting there.
Roy won a national championship with the crew that Matt Doherty recruited.
Yeah, but I believe Matt Doherty didn't even have a 500 winning percentage or something crazy.
He had a rough go.
I'd actually have to look that up because I'm not sure. But if you are out there with a quickness, Sissy's Log Cabin, text in listener line where life's too short for ordinary jewelry, 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255. I don't even think Doherty won 500 half his games.
I'm about to find out right now.
Man, the historian, he's on it. But you can hit me and let me know what you think about everything that's going on Right now, we're just talking a little bit of basketball. We have no basketball on Saturday. It's pretty wild. It's kind of weird to
feel.
But
the last day of the regular season is Sunday, and it's full slate. Full slate on Friday night, too.
And I don't care about the last day of the NBA regular season.
No, I really don't, but you probably can get some easy, quick money, though.
Well, because with your help, I can. So you know how mad I was the other day when I was so excited. I don't even know if I called and told you this. I had a little homie. I was doing all my little research before the games. And I'm like, oh, my God, this dude's averaging 5 rebounds over his last 10 games as a guard. This is the worst team that gives up rebounds to a guard. And they only got him over 3.5 minus 145. Yeah. I'm like, I'm pounding this junt. Dude hurts his heel in the first 2 minutes of the ball game and goes out.
Cold-blooded.
I want to throw up.
Yeah, that's ducky.
I said, you got to be bleeping me. You got a heel bruise, bro? How the hell you bruise your heel when you in Nikes or whatever?
I would say
playing on basketball court.
If you are going to gamble in the NBA at this stretch of the year, I would say gamble on teams who who are in playoff position that are still playing to stay sharp, still playing and competing. Fun part about this Matt Doherty thing.
How bad was it? What was his winning percentage?
At Carolina overall, 552.
Okay.
Now,
I mean, Notre I guess Dame, in Carolina, 552 don't feel like
his one season at great. Notre Dame was 595.
Wow.
And he had that one right before, because Gut leaving, that's what made him take that job at Carolina. That's what sent Mike Bray from Duke to Notre Dame. Because Mike Bray was one of Coach K's assistants. He went to top because that's Johnny Dawkins, of course, at that time. But yeah, I mean.
My bad.
And then he went to Florida Atlantic.
I wasn't very. I mean, I hate to say this. In North Carolina, I feel like your clip should be minimum 650.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like, if they don't have Roy, if Roy didn't make the run that he made.
Like, what did Dean Smith win? What was his career record?
I mean, we're talking.
Winning percentage.
One time he was the all-time wins leader, so.
I mean, yeah.
On the.
I bet you it's in the sevens.
Oh, you know what it is.
Do you think it's north of 750? That's 3 out of 4 games.
You guys know what's strange about wins? I think there's only 2 guys with 1,000. Rick Pitino is about 100 wins away from that. I think he is literally coaching to be one of those 3 guys. I think he wants to get in the 1,000 club.
I think so. And, yeah, it's north of
75. Because of the tarnish he is on his career. Is he really? So on, so
what's his winning percentage?
Overall.
Wow, I was saying that's 3 out of 4 games if it's north of 750.
Overall, he's 776.
John, do you know the 2 coaches with 1,000 wins?
Dean Smith, Coach K.
Don't tell him the other one.
He's 728 in conference.
It's only 2, Judge. You said Dean Smith and Coach K? Uh-uh.
You said for the 1,000.
With 1,000 wins.
It ain't Coach K?
Coach K, the first one with 1,000.
I thought, no, Dean got
it. It's so easy and simple that it's, I don't know if you're going
to get it. Dean got like 800.
All right, dude.
Gino got 1,000.
Hold on. Are we talking men's basketball? Men's basketball.
I say overall.
Not overall, because then you got to add Tara Vanderveer from
Stanford. I was finna say, Gino, I mean, Tara.
You hear this basketball.
Wouldn't won forever, but he didn't get to 1,000.
Nope.
Syracuse,
Jim Boeheim.
I'm going to let you guess.
Oh, my God. How did I forget about Jim? Dude, why didn't you say about the great – he had a guard that was a huge drug dealer. Who I would have got that in 2 seconds.
What that?
You don't remember the drug dealing guard that got arrested with –
Wasn't Pearl. Was it? Pearl wasn't a drug dealer.
No, he was P. Diddy. Oh, man.
Pearl Washington?
Yeah, no, I'm asking John. No, I'm asking,
the white guard, P. Diddy.
You talking about Devendorf.
Syracuse.
You talking about Eric
Devendorf sold drugs?
Drug dealer. He was like the dude who carried all the
Hakeem Ward.
Former Greek.
Brendan Paul. Syracuse.
And that's some John trivia. We wouldn't have known that.
The term P. Diddy likely refers to Brendan Paul, former Syracuse basketball player.
Boeheim was in Syracuse.
Who
was like
identified 60. In the legal proceedings as an alleged drug mule for rapper Sean Diddy Combs. Background. He was a walk-on guard who ended up playing.
That's why.
Then he transferred, but he did play. He was a drug mule, and yeah.
The mule, shout out.
And P. Diddy, the P, you know, I mean the B. Diddy term. Did you ever hear the B. Diddy? I didn't.
B. Diddy is Baron Davis.
But that's, I'm talking about Drug World.
Oh, never then. I only knew it beat
it. And the only reason I knew that, I went down a rabbit hole just to try to see, why is Rick Pitino still coaching at his age? And the only corresponding thing that I could come up with, he wants to join that 1,000 club.
Yeah, makes sense.
I mean, he's I think it was like 120 games or something.
By the way, can
shot.
I just say something?
And he just said
if
himself
you
can, apart.
If you're still healthy, why the hell not keep doing something you love? Y'all act like
but
this
you gotta
man's,
get in that club.
He
though.
Ain't
you're
punching
close,
no
you
time card at a freaking factory, bro.
Absolutely. And then he's done something. He's already got the unique distinction of taking 6 different programs to this.
I mean, getting in the 1,000 club knocks the restaurant down a peg. I think that's what it does.
I mean, Dan, I do.
With the
man,
girly.
In this degenerate counterculture that we living in, he going to get glorified for that pimping.
All the teams. Let's just think.
He already get glorified on this show.
And he was on the floor. Like, they were on the floor, dude, of a restaurant.
Like, Rick Pitino was the Gotti of coaching, like, basketball coaching in the 90s, especially when he was at Kentucky.
Shout out to Jim Boeheim for the .697 win percentage with 1,000 wins.
Yeah.
Throwing his championship. He's solidified.
Thank you so much, Carmelo.
Oh, yeah.
Melo was awesome.
But you know what? They ain't nowhere near what they were before. That question has actually come across on the Sixers Log Cabin text line, too. Like,
what about
who's
Syracuse?
Who's had the fall off, bigger fall off, Memphis or Syracuse?
Does McNamara, okay, I'll ask Syracuse. You, does McNamara get them back where they're supposed to be?
He could. He in the right conference for it. He got the pedigree for it. You saw he could coach his tail off. He almost beat one seed with 5 dudes.
Yep, that's true.
So, yeah, I like that for G-Man.
And he's such a basketball head.
I like that him coming to the ACC. And
plus
I like
it's
Mike
home.
Malone being in the ACC as well.
I think
so
Mike
you
Malone.
You got to say good hire by Syracuse.
You see.
I mean, don't you think a guy who's going to care, like, this is a guy who cares about the Orange.
That, and then y'all saw him at the parade. He can connect with the young people.
Yep.
That's good connectivity.
And then Mike, again, and Mike Malone, I always call him the fourth member of the Beastie Boys, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like he coming out hard.
And he's like a basketball lifer. His dad was a lifer in the NBA. He's a lifer in the league as well. He wasn't doing nothing before he got the gig, but at ESPN watching film.
Ham, I've been trying to find out, do they have the oldest head coach, basketball and football in D1 between he and Belichick?
I don't know if they do. They might, do they?
Because strangely enough, I thought Malone was older than he was. You know, Malone's just 54. Like,
yeah,
I thought he was well over 60.
Yeah, he won the title.
Wait, hold on.
Like
what'd
50.
You just say?
I was trying to see if they have the oldest head coach basketball duo in D1 with Belichick and Malone. Think about how old they are.
74?
No, man, Mike look good, bro.
Yeah, he's just 54, but what? Belichick's what, 73, 74?
Yeah, but he gets his age cut in half because Jordan's 24. He's getting the fountain of youth.
I don't think you have two coaches that age at a D1 program.
Mike Malone, as we saw at the parade, because he get down with Cole's dispensary, man.
Yeah, he also, though, and he might, Mike Malone can wear his hat backwards.
He could.
Because I was told by like young folks,
he better not.
That old people can't do that because y'all look goofy and corny.
You gonna look like the Rowan coach on How High because he had his hat backwards after he started kicking with Red Man.
Dude, I'm not joking. I always had my hat backwards when I was at a studio, you know, doing BS.
Red Man even had the man smoking weed, man.
And I quit doing it when my daughter said, "You're too old to do that." And I was like, "Damn, man, bleep you!" But thanks for the heads up. I got to take a quick timeout, y'all.
We got Dustin, huh?
We got Star.
I made a proclamation. I said Dustin Star should be the one, and I posted it on the Sports 56 page. That was me, if you saw it. Dustin Star should be our Memphis Grizzlies representative at the NBA lottery. Who better than Dustin? We sent Dustin. He come back. Dustin had a number one pick, man.
That?
Just saying. Who better? If you can't get Jerry Lauder to go, get Dustin.
And I kind of like that. I mean, he is
he
lucky.
He got 100 jobs anyway. Give him that one. Make
I mean, and by the way, again, I remember when the man had no jobs.
You feel me?
Like, I met Dustin in the beginning. And, man, you talk about a person who has worked his ass off, always been positive.
Should be the one.
Treats everybody with respect, helps people in the community.
Not just this year. He should do it until he can't do it, not available to do it, or don't want to do it no more. He should be the representative for that. That's just my opinion. Who better to do it than Dustin?
Definitely not Rick Trotter.
He can...
We got Dustin Star coming up on the other side. Do me a favor, everybody. I did want to remind you of something very, very important. The air you breathe, you have no idea how important it is. I'm being dead serious. It seems simple, right? But not so fast. The air you're breathing inside your house or your office, it could be hazardous to your health. Don't guess. Be sure with a phone call to the Memphis Mold Inspector, the only licensed mold assessor in the Mid-South. Call the Memphis Mold Inspector today. Hit him up, man. He's going to check the air quality inside your home or your office, 901-292-7788, for clean air and peace of mind. 901-292-7788. Or visit MemphisMoldInspector.com. Tell them I sent you. Tell them 56 sent you, which is really me. But if you want to, like, give 56, like, you know, 56, they credit, that's cool, man. You know what I'm saying? But if you do that, guess what? Fat discount. Discount. Who don't like discounts? I love it. Wait, was it discount? Double check. Let's go. Don't touch that dial, folks, though, because we do have Dustin Starr, and we're going to run this by him. Are you going to be the man who represents the Grizzlies at the draft?
Plus, John, hey, before you go to break, you got to ask Dustin about music night with Project Pat. He was in the building, right?
Yeah.
Little Glorilla action down there?
Dude.
Shout out to Lil Chat, who was also
Lil Chat was down
yeah,
there?
By yeah, by the way, why didn't they all tell me they were going to be down there?
They you had tickets. We gave them away.
Yeah, no, I know, but I had a reason. I could not. It was impossible. I mean,
the question that we gave away, that people still laughing at us about that on my Facebook wall. They're like, y'all stupid.
I thought that was one of the better questions.
I thought it was, too.
I got great questions coming up here, but I do have Dustin Starr. We're going to find out if he can get us a number one draft pick, and if he does, King Kleiman, who does he take? AJ? Is he a boozer guy?
You saying we getting a one or two pick. I don't care at that moment.
Well, I do care because I have seen...
If I'm up that high, I'm taking what we get.
I've seen Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. I have seen Greg Oden and...
Hashim Thabeet.
Well, no, wasn't it Kevin Durant was taken after...
Oh, okay, that draft.
Like,
okay.
Dude, you man, when you take Greg Oden again, all you had to do is look and be like, he looks 90 and he's 18.
And the only thing about
his body is aging faster than any person in the world. You know that guy at 11 years old could walk in any store and buy freaking liquor, and they weren't going to ask him for an ID. Just saying.
And he can really hoop. That's the hard part about it.
The weird thing, though, is I looked at Otis Nixon at 19, and he was like 85, and he actually could ball. I'm late for a break. Dustin Starr next, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com.
Here once again
is Johnny Radio.
I got that passion to slash the law. Los mujeres fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy Latino. And I'm tougher than tough, calling your bluff, cause I lie, I cheat, I steal. I lie, I cheat, I steal. I don't care if you don't like me. Everybody wants to fight me. Do you feel it? Hey, oye lo claro, I ain't the one you wanna meet. Hay nada más caliente, I'm too hot for you. Yo, Latino heat.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio.
Got you with that little Latino heat, John.
I know. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Hey, I'm ready for a little luchador mask match. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you need. You need a luchador mask. That's what you need.
Actually, I put one on. I'm way too good looking to wear one of those things. You know, the luchador mask.
I told John I got him on this Latino heat right now. No, Eddie Guerrero.
Man, I can't do it. But I will tell you, Dustin Starr, I don't know if Dustin had a chance to hear the wonderful historian Jay Ham's proclamation, which I think is like one of the greatest ideas ever, because Dustin Starr, everything he touches turns what?
Platinum.
To gold. Platinum. That's even better than gold.
A win.
Unless he's at the Grizzlies games.
I don't count.
But welcome, Dustin Starr, who has everybody's job. How are you doing today, my friend?
Doing awesome, man. I closed out the season with the NBA, and now it's baseball time. Baseball and wrestling now.
Well, we want you to do another job. We want you to represent the Grizzlies at the draft because we think you're lucky, not only because, again, it's really not luck. You've worked your ass off, but everything you touch turns to gold. And maybe if you put your hands up in that bad boy and start giving a little rub like on the Grizzlies. I mean, like with all the war crimes that Robert Perez committed lately, like are they going to let him win the draft lottery?
Man, I saw the tweet, so I appreciate the tweet, and I would love nothing more than to go represent the Grizzlies. But there's 0% chance that's going to happen. Come on, guys. Are you serious?
If they want the number one pick, you are the man.
Hey, I don't disagree. I would totally be there, and I would totally help us get, what is it, like the ping pong balls or whatever?
Yeah, we got all the balls. Either way. I think we would have, 7.3% chance to get the number one overall pick.
John, social media would go so crazy with Russ Grenick and Dustin's beautiful hair for that social media pick. Can you imagine it, John?
Oh, it would go viral for maybe the wrong reasons. But, yeah, it would be interesting, to say the least.
and then he can also get the chance to get Memphis Wrestling on a national broadcast like that. You know, they got to put what he represents, not just the Memphis Grizzlies, but also
the inside of the jacket, man.
Owner of Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay. So if that were to ever happen, I couldn't go alone. I'd have to have Grizz with me.
Oh, absolutely. Because,
yeah, like it would have to be a whole thing. I would maybe even need some grannies and grandpas with me.
Tell them
like
take,
it would need to be
take,
a whole
take Maine
like,
with you too.
Segment.
Take yes. Maine with you too.
Heck yeah, why not? I'm serious. That would be a ton of fun, you know. But I don't think what I think's going to happen is that we're going to have a really big draft party. So I think there's going to be a big draft party. Now, I'm kind of maybe speaking out of turn because I don't know if anything's even scheduled yet, but I would imagine there's going to be some sort of Grizz party somewhere in Memphis if it's not at FedEx Forum. But usually there's some sort of big draft party for the fans and for us, you know.
You know, last night I was just thinking about something, Dustin. Did you see, like, the Soler fight and the Lopez fight, Anaheim and the Braves, by any chance?
Oh, I saw the highlights, and I was excited.
Dude, it was wild, right? Now, like, that, yeah. They were throwing
haymakers.
Well,
I wondered, like, why did the guy, it's almost like he said something, it's like, what'd you say? I don't know the history or the backstory, but it almost looked like it started over almost nothing, just me just watching the clip, you know?
So Jorge Soler had hit a gone yard on Lopez a couple times.
Already been hit, too.
And he'd been hit, and he just got done throwing a ball high and tight, and the catcher threw the ball down to second base. The tag was late because it was a bad throw, because one, when the catcher goes left, has to pull his body back down and throw right. It's going to usually be a wide right throw. Exactly what it was. Dude's safe. There's a little bit of time back and forth, and Soler says something to Lopez. Lopez bucks up and says something back, like, come on, you got a problem with it? And Soler's 6'4", 260, man.
Dude.
He looked like, Soler looked like he could whip some ass.
Pitcher was hitting him with his glove. Like, he was just backing up, hitting him with his glove. I would be like, why do you want to fight me? I guess because he hit him with the ball. But anyways, I thought it was interesting. It reminded me of, like, some WWE type of stuff, man.
That's what it
made me
think.
Those guys at WrestleMania.
But which coach? Who was the coach? He's 62 years old, 63, 64, something like that, who tackled Soler Weiss. From behind. Charlie Weiss. It was him, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, this guy could wrestle. This guy can do anything. Lopez was about to get his brains beat out.
Well, so would you guys want to even jump in that? Or are you like, man, like, I wouldn't. This might be bad on me, but I don't want to get in there and get hurt because two big, huge dudes are fighting. I'd be like, man, somebody get them.
See, the thing
or just
is,
pull out my phone and record it, I guess. I don't know.
I guess for me, like, when things happen fast, I'm in it.
And Walt Weiss is a Taekwondo black belt.
I'm sorry, Walt Weiss. I say Charlie
Weiss.
No,
if that's my,
Lord
if that's
mercy.
My boy in there, you know, I'm up in it. But.
No, I'm thinking of Charlie Weiss and Charlie Weiss Jr.
Here's Walt Weiss.
But Walt Weiss.
Was it Kawhi Leonard recently? Was it Kawhi Leonard recently that just looked over and said, "Oh, they're fighting"?
Yeah,
and it had like up close of him, like he could totally care less. Like, right. Why are they fighting? They're fighting. I'm like, what? It's like he was in a whole different universe. I thought that was great.
I can't believe I just confused the manager of the Braves, Walt Weiss, with the former Patriots and fat guy, and then of course Ole Miss's offensive coordinator. Charlie Weiss and Charlie Weiss Jr. I do that. Remember when I was doing it with Jeremiah Fears and Jeremy Fears?
Which, I mean, they're from the same household, so it's okay.
Okay, true. But that, you but mix college up the wrestlers
and
pro. All the
time. Jeremy is a junior, so you're okay.
I know. I'm hilarious. But, Dustin, the one thing I wanted to ask you is, that was a legitimate, like, dust-up. And I'm kind of curious, have you ever had a wrestling event at the Wrestle Center
where
it's scheduled and things are supposed to go one way?
Shoot.
And then all of a sudden, one guy might accidentally get popped in the nose. Or
comes a
and
shoot.
Then next thing you know, that adrenaline and anger comes out. And next thing you know, you might have had something else planned, and then dude just beats the brakes off of him.
You're baiting me here because I'm not supposed to talk about stuff like this. I save stuff like this for YouTube members only, behind a paywall. But you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, it happens all the time. Maybe not a big scuff up like that, but it's definitely like, hey, man, it happens in the women's division. It happens in the women's division a lot where it's like, hey, I saw what you did. You know what I'm saying? They always got their eyes, and it happens at training. It happens because the adrenaline is so high.
Yes.
You know, and you're on television, and it's one take, and so you've got two choices. You either lay that bad boy in there, or you know, it's not going to look good. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of those are live rounds in there, and sometimes they do take them personally.
Yep.
A lot of times it depends on what happens in the locker room beforehand or what he said, she said, and then go in there, and a live round hits you, and you're like, whoa, wait a second. It's happened when I was in the ring. I would look at my partner over there and go, hey, man, I'd tag him in. We'd put the guy in a situation and say, all right, are you ready to work? Because if not, and then we just beat him up a little bit. Wouldn't hurt him. Just beat him up, rough him up, and say, all right, you ready to work together? Like, yep, okay, good. And then in the locker room afterwards, it's always interesting because you got to see that guy.
Yep.
You know, so what happens? There's a really good story that I might have told here. Maria, a guy that was like 6'5", put his hands on Maria. He was not supposed to, so I kind of had to get in his face a little bit. So we went to the locker room, and me and Maria are standing there, and she's like ranting about it, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. And so your boy was real pumped up at the time. Like, this is Mr. Tennessee days. So this dude comes in. He's looking down on me. I have to get in his face because my wife is there. I have to. I'm getting in his face, and I'm like, what do you think you're doing out there? And he actually backed up, and I was like, oh, my God, thank goodness, because I was going to have to fight that guy, and I did not want to fight him, but I needed to because my wife, and not that Maria, like, wanted me to fight him, but I had to stick up for her.
I know what you mean.
Situation. I had to, no matter how big he was, and luckily for me, I guess maybe he respected me and my position wherever in the business or whatever the case may be, but he did not want to fight, and that would have been interesting, but yeah, it happens all the time. You don't hear about it all the time, but stuff like that happens all the time.
I watch a lot of wrestling shoot interviews, and I've heard a lot of stories about that. One of my favorite ones actually was involving the Ultimate Warrior and Andre the Giant.
Dude, nobody did probably more steroids than the Ultimate Warrior. Oh, no, like, could you road rage?
I think that dude snorted creatine. Creatine. He was different. But he was always on point.
He was yoked.
But
yeah, you know, I think those stories with Andre.
Yeah, you know how wild
Andre
used to be,
would have to
around.
Calm him down.
Right. And they said Bobby Heenan said Andre just stuck his fist out like on the cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And Warrior ran right to it. And he kind of snickered back at Bobby Heenan like, I think he got it now, boss. I think he understand. Warrior didn't try that no more because he was just coming all reckless. And Warrior was one who didn't protect his opponent.
Well, he was also one, and this is because I learned this from Dustin Starr. If I remember correctly, Dustin said he was not the most technical wrestler.
Not at all.
No.
Hardly.
No.
He hurt
people. He was one of the. Yeah, he was more of
Southern style.
Yeah, he was more of about the muscles. Grabbing the ring.
They hated working with that dude. I don't think any wrestler. I don't hear any wrestler that enjoyed working with him, but. Our guest from a couple weeks ago, the Macho Man Randy Savage, he gave the Ultimate Warrior, I think, his best match at WrestleMania 7.
God, ooh, I
man,
love being the Macho.
My favorite match of all time it's is great match. WrestleMania
great
6.
Great match, great story.
Johnny, Warrior Hogan is my favorite.
You would have cried at the end of the Macho Man Ultimate Warrior match because that's when Macho got back with Elizabeth.
Uh-uh.
Ooh, yeah.
Really?
Elizabeth came in because Sherry turned on Macho.
Now, can I ask you something? Did they actually date in real life?
Who?
Yeah.
Miss Elizabeth and Macho.
They were married.
Yeah, they were married.
Oh, in real.
They got married at SummerSlam, I believe, 1988.
No,
it was a match made in heaven.
But they were already 91. Married with that one.
Here's match made in heaven.
Here's the funny part about that, Dustin. When they got married at SummerSlam, of course, they were already married. They had been married since 84. But they divorced a year later.
Oh, my gosh. They had to get that payoff, man.
Right. Well, it was just like I saw this part on Dark Side of the Ring. This is when she actually ran away from him. And she went and stayed with Hulk and Linda Hogan, and he couldn't find her. This is what caused the rift between Macho and Hogan for a minute. And then when Hulk Hogan went to WrestleMania 9 with a black eye, everybody thought Macho hit him in the eye.
Yeah, right. And I'm glad you mentioned Hogan because this is really newsworthy. There's his final interview that he ever gave is going to be released. I want to say it's a Netflix docuseries.
Yeah, it is.
And so it should be pretty interesting with all the stuff that was going on. And then I did not know that Hogan was sick or had a surgery or anything like that. So I'm interested to see what it was leading up. And if you remember Ultimate Warrior, he tragically just passed away after his farewell speech.
Right after
being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Actually, you know what?
Yeah,
today is the 12th year anniversary of that.
Wow.
Hey, and that Hulk Hogan documentary drops on April 22nd. So, Dustin, I got a quick question about WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I was watching Joe Tessitore on Get Up the other day, and he did the reveal for WrestleMania, the card. Did you see
it? You watched that dork, Greeny?
First of all, I like Greeny a little bit, but I was there for Joe
Tessitore.
I was there for Joe Tessitore, Joe.
I like Tess, too, but I don't like Greeny.
So they did the reveal. Did you see it? Did you catch it? If so, did you like it? And the bigger question is, do you like ESPN showing the first hour of WrestleMania for both days, Saturday and Sunday?
Oh, no, I think that's awesome. Anything that WWE meshes and collabs with ESPN, it just legitimizes the business. Just the mere perception of pro wrestling being linked with ESPN, I think legitimizes WWE. It makes it just tippy, tippy top. It doesn't get any bigger than that. I did not see the reveal show. I do love Joe Test. I don't care what Johnny Radio says, but I have seen the card. And to me, the thing that's kind of strange is the stories aren't like really compelling stories, right? But the match lineup looks tremendous. I mean, from top to bottom, it looks really good. And then they just added Rey Mysterio on Monday. He'll be in that Intercontinental ladder match, which is going to be fantastic. Penta's in there. All the guys that fly around are in there, so it should be really good. And then, of course, they've added some new matches where, I guess, Seth Rollins and Gunther, Obafemi and Brock Lesnar, that's huge. And Pat McAfee, or should I say Pat McAfee, did you guys see this on Raw where CM Punk
cut a scathing promo and
called Pat McAfee Pat McAfee. So I think WrestleMania, the card lineup looks really good, and they have it absolutely loaded with celebrities. Every celebrity is going to be there.
And the cool part is you're going to show me the first hour on each night. I know that in that first hour, they're going to give me a marquee match to start that
hour.
So that's a good bargain. I probably still won't watch the whole event, though, but I'll be at Wingfest on Saturday, and we're doing 420 Fest on Sunday.
All right, Jay Ham, I got those free matches for you. So you're going to get a 6-man tag team match on Saturday, as well as you're going to get Drew McIntyre versus Jacob Fatu.
I can rock with that.
A six-man tag team? What does that mean?
Three on three.
You're going to have the Usos and LA Knight and the Visions, Logan Paul and Austin Theory and I Show Speed. He'll be wrestling.
Kid that was here in Memphis that time?
Yeah.
Bro, that kid fast.
Hey, you saw him on the move the other night.
Holy hell.
That's just the first night. The second night, you're going to get Brock Lesnar and Obafemi free. And then you're also going to get a WWE Intercontinental Championship ladder match for free as well.
That's huge. Hey, Brock Lesnar wrestling on WrestleMania on free TV for – not free TV, but ESPN, like that is – that's huge. That's huge for ESPN because regardless if you like Brock or not.
And a great way to introduce that wider audience to Obafemi.
Absolutely. That's tremendous.
Is Brock Lesnar the former guy who tried to try out with the Vikings and he couldn't do it?
Yeah.
Look, when you see –
No, see, he's Johnny, a big monster.
That's a hater right there.
No. I'm trying to remember if that's how I know who Brock Lesnar is.
Okay, so instead of remembering him as a national champion wrestler,
I didn't know
as
that.
A multi-time WWE world champion, a multi-time UFC world champion.
I just know him as the dude who was
say the guy that failed as a Viking. Plan, get out of town.
No. Here's what here you have to listen hater. To what I'm saying. This is not actually a hater. You have been out of football for 5 years, and you're such a physical freak of a human being that you can go out there and make it to the last cut. Number one, these are the best football players in the world. And yes, technique and
Ben. I think he made the practice squad or something.
No, yeah, he said, I'm not taking $50,000 a year to be on the practice squad. He's like, I'll go back to wrestling. He did make the practice squad, and he could have continued to try to become an NFL player.
UFC after that.
That's right. He did. He went to the UFC and stuff.
The UFC.
Yep. I'm just saying he's a badass. I am not putting any shade on Brock Lesnar because, number one, Brock Lesnar.
Google Obafemi.
OBA. Okay, thank you.
That's funny.
That's one word.
FEMI?
Yeah. Okay. That's the second word.
I'm guessing. Oh, yeah, he yoked. Oh, he looked mean as hell, too.
Oh, yeah. Show Johnny the walk real quick. Show him how Obafemi walks to the ring so people can see it on Twitter.
What is he? How's it go?
It's not quite Ric Flairish, but he's got a strut.
He got a strut.
Yeah,
moving them shoulders back and forth. I'm doing it at my house right now. Maria's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I love it. It's not going to be the first or the last. You know that. Know that. Now, I have to ask you a few questions because, again, I'm running up on it, and I wanted to make sure that I got into your life. I want to know this, and this is not only something I want to know, but a texter also wanted to know. Do you know if you're going to be doing Memphis football next year?
I do not know. I know the spring game or the spring gimmick is coming up. I think Sydney's going to be at that one. But, I have no idea yet. I don't know that they've even started reaching out to people since football's so far away. I mean, gosh, what is that? September? Am I wrong?
6 months or so, huh?
Oh, yeah, it'll be here before you know it. It's the months. It's great during the months because my liver gets destroyed. September, October, November, and December because I'm just watching football.
I never just assume that I'm going to be back because, you know, just like the team you see on the field, sometimes the team changes off the field. So I don't assume that I'm going to be back. I would love to be back. I kind of expect to be back, but I don't know yet.
Better chance.
I will be back at AutoZone Park.
Better chance of being back in Memphis during the football season. You or Ja Morant?
Me.
I agree.
Hey, Dustin, check that Twitter hour. I got Johnny Radio and then Walk on the Twitter already.
Man, you are so good, dude. You are so good. One other thing is, though, you have a big event coming up, don't you?
I
believe the 19th.
Yes. Well, we've got a couple. We've got this weekend. We're in Little Rock with the Arkansas Travelers for wrestling night. And then the next Sunday, the 19th, that is WrestleMania weekend. But during the day before WrestleMania, we're going to have some live action. AEW superstar, the bounty hunter Brian Keith is coming to Memphis Wrestling. And also former WWE superstar Eugene is coming. So
Eugene! Coming up on the 19th. Man, a lot of stuff going on over there, Dustin. Tell everybody where they can also find you, though.
You better find it at MemphisWrestling.tv, and I'm at Dustin Starr.
Dustin Starr, and that's with two R's. Dustin, tell Marie I said what up. Hope you and your family have a wonderful weekend, and I hope you got out there and got your dead gum beds right, and that yard looks good, bro, because I know how them women are.
Oh, yeah. That's my home. She's out there right now.
I believe it. Thank you. That's Dustin Starr, Memphis wrestling legend. Brought freaking wrestling back to Channel 5, you know. He's done a lot. Also opened up the Wrestle Center, where if you want to be a wrestler one day, you can go down there and learn your game, your craft.
Or a referee. He said, man, I can't do no flipping.
No, I can flip. Like, if I was young, this would have been something that I think would have been fun for me. I've jumped out of airplanes. I used to have no fear until I got older and things hurt. And I'm like, why is my back hurt? I didn't do anything.
As long as you don't get hooked on the opioids like the wrestlers.
Ooh, no, I don't want that.
Because they definitely do.
Or Kratom.
I don't want to get hooked on anything. Well,
I know you got tired of calling you a hater.
Suzanne Summers came back.
I know you got tired of calling you a hater, though.
Who is a hater?
I said you got tired of it. Just ain't no hater. What are y'all talking about?
I can't hate on a dude that big. And again, you don't like not play football 5 years, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to try out for the friggin' Minnesota Vikings in the NFL. We got so much business to get to. We got day baseball on the other side. Let's start gambling. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.